Welcome. This is Corey Angelot. Welcome to the End of Slavery Summit. I'm here with Bridget Kaser Sherman. We're going to be talking about money and how financial exploitation can survive voluntarism and why money must be abolished. This is a very unique perspective that we haven't really delved much into. But first, let's hear about Bridget. Could you introduce more about yourself?
Yes. So I was born in Africa right after the independence of the Congo, which then became Zaire. And so my father really exported me very quickly because there was nothing good really for me in Africa. Interracial conflicts were very, very, very overwhelming. So I was raised by my grandmother in the south of France, and my father came back from Africa later on. And then we moved to Switzerland, and then from Switzerland to Belgium. So long story short, yes, French is my native language. I'm sure you can hear my accent. I've always been kind of a rebel of society, not really believing what I was told, always challenging everything. And so I became interested in psychoanalysis, and I started writing. And I was even making paintings. I was also partnering in an art gallery back then in Brussels. And eventually, I met somebody online, and it was from New York. And after 2 years going back and forth, seeing each other on a regular basis, it was not just an internet connection. No, it was in really flesh interaction for 2 years, coming to Manhattan and visiting for 10 days, 15 days at a time, every 3 months, something like that. So I decided to get married, and here I am in America. And so 9/11 changed my life completely, because I thought that I was in New York, I have it all, very, I liked the lifestyle back then. And then also I started working for a filmmaker, Danny Scher, a little bit after 9/11. And his specialty was investigating financial crimes and the corporations and everything. So it was 9/11, knowing about the truth about 9/11, and then working for that guy, I was his production assistant. So I really, whoa, I said, no, I cannot stay in I cannot stay in Manhattan anymore. I need to go farming. I need to go farm and live another life, because I am not going to be part of this masquerade anymore, And so, long story short, now I am here in Florida after a long period of time in New Mexico. And I'm still working on farms and trying to, and of course I need little gigs also to sustain myself, but I don't fit the profile anymore of, and I want to change the world, definitely. Not that I consider myself as the only voice, because I know changing the world will depend on many voices, not right. Just me, not just you, this is really a shared endeavor. Mm-hmm. And so I became interested in the nature of money, because I also understood, and all that by myself, yes, a little flashback now. I was writing columns, blogs about gold and silver and why they were real money and things like that. And then the more I investigated the history of monetarism and all the subterfuges used by the elite to really control people, I came to the conclusion that money was created for that specific reason.
To control people.
And then everything started making sense. because it's we have had that system for 5,000 years. How does it come that despite all the good souls, you know, all the people who want to make the world a better place, how does it come that it don't work? Why humanitarianism not working, sorry. Why, you know, why poverty is still increasing, you know, and the rich is getting richer. So it's, for me, it's all intended since day one. And sadly, when I talk about that to people, it's like talking about pornography. People don't want to hear about it. So I've been like an anti-hero for many years now. Like I've been doing this for 5 or 6 years because part of me would like to go in hiding into a cave. And then I have another part of me say, no, go ahead, go into the world, share your own truths and show your discoveries. And so here I am. I'm kind of, you know, not desperate, but I think we are really at a very critical juncture right now.
Okay, yes. So talking about money and it being abolished, a lot of people might look at that and think, well, how can you abolish money? Like, what is it that you mean when you say money could be abolished?
Well, I would say, and I'm sure you will have many podcasts about this topic also of fear. Mm-hmm. Fear, I think, that's the only way to abolish it, to make people understand that the fear to be left behind is what drives money. So we are all chasing money just because we don't want to be left behind by the system, or, you know, and lose what we have. And in the meantime, we get entrapped, you know, it is like a catch-22 situation we are in. But I would say that if you understand that how money drives all fears of being, just being yourself, then you want to let it go. That's the only way, and that's how it is going to work. Otherwise, we are going to stay with that system and it is not going to get better.
So would it be more ideal to have a system based on gold and silver rather than paper currency? Is that preferable? And, you know, having people trade like, oh, I have an apple, this person has an orange. Technically, that's currency,
right? You know, I am not against money because I've studied that also. But I feel like money is especially positive when it is used by communities, people who know each other's, yeah.
Right.
And, you know, but once you have to deal with international trade, people you don't know, whose reputation you don't know, who are colluding with who, with the people you don't know, then that's where corruption starts.
Right.
But if you have like a small town, having a local, even a local debt-free currency is good also. Gold and silver would be good also. But it is the bigger the trade become, the less chance it has to stay fair. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem. It's a size. It's a matter of size.
So when you're saying a money-free planet, you're essentially saying a corruption-free planet, one where, you know, there isn't people that have crazy monopolies that are trading overseas like governments do.
Yes. Would you please rephrase your question? Because my thoughts were...
You mentioned like, will financial exploitation survive voluntarism? And voluntarism is the idea that, you know, we can live in a voluntary society without these involuntary hierarchical systems that coerce everybody under duress to follow their orders. So when we are free to do what we want with our own labor, our own products of our labor, our money, you know, that's different from a world where our money's being taken from us, right?
Definitely. But we have also to realize that there is an important the notion of value. So it's also, I would say, very important to understand. So because what you say you want to be recognized for your worth, the work you provide, and be in control of it, definitely. But values is for you is different than for another another one. You may sell your services for like $50 an hour, and somebody else is going to do exactly the same for $30 an hour. So I don't. We need. And the value can be the notion of value can be changed as soon as we accept that we have to work for what we need, not for what we want. Mm. This is also very important to understand for money to have even a positive outcome. Because if we are going to work for what we want, then we are back. We are back in the catch-22. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, so where does voluntarism fit into this then, like when it comes to money?
Then it would be voluntary. You know, if you are, if somebody, when somebody has money and want to exploit a situation, whatever it is, you know, it's very easy to coerce the mind. So I don't, but that wouldn't happen, of course, if there was an education, the right education available to all. But it isn't the case right now. So I would say it's all about education, you know, and because how people can see, oh no, I don't want to be exploited. I want to own myself, and without exploitation, so this is a big dilemma.
So essentially, what people choose to do with their money and how they express their money is determined by their education.
Yes, also.
Like, so how is it that you create this world where money is not so much the focus?
Oh, yes. You know, I would say it's a world that is going to be based on creativity, essentially. You know, and being happy with less, you know. And I was listening to a video of Terence McKenna, which you can find on YouTube, about materialism. The Absurdity of Materialism is the title of this video, which I'm using now in the video that I am going to get to release in a week or so. He says that to save the world, we need to start learning to do with less. And it is because when we relate ourselves to our possessions, that's where we start wanting more. I would say this is the issue with money, that you have money or not, in fact, has to do with understanding that the purpose of life is not accumulation. Mm-hmm. And then whatever system you have would be perfect, you know, but yet again, why do you need money if you understand that? You see, we can help each other. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but
so
I'm not opposed to a monetary system that would understand that. I would cope with that. No.
Right. So like you're just trying to abolish the power systems of that are holding money and exploiting people.
Exactly. Because, you know, I'm sure once people understand that, they will do the good also with their money. You know, this is not that I am like, oh, Satan, no, that's not true. But this is where voluntarism is enters the picture. The education system should also should also value much more life experience than acquisition, possessions, you know, and accumulation of wealth. And this is what also Terence McKenna says in that, in his video, that is very important, is that as soon as we start willing to accumulate wealth, we are going to create an energy that is not going to be positive, not only be positive, but that is going to start the cycle of exploitation.
So wouldn't you say, however, that like in a free world where you have creativity and there's a lot of people who are producing, that there is going to be essentially a lot of resources, a lot of money and monetary systems. But is it because it's less centralized and less exploitative that it's better? You know, is that the determinant factor? So it's not so much about the money, but it's more so about the coercion and the voluntary.
The coercion, yes. The coercion. And like, you know, one of my biggest topic also is that nature provides everything. And we need nature to live and to make some profit. But again, how much can you profit from nature? Because I feel like nature is, unless we get really a true scientific advance, because I think right now we are in the full dark age, scientifically speaking. But unless we come up with very advanced technologies that are really positive on, that have a positive side effect on the environment and our lives, then I would say right now we cannot take more than what we put in. And nature is always, because that implies that we would begin to destroy the environment if we take more out than what we put in. So, and it is very, very important also to understand that. So money, again, sure, no problem, as long as you don't destroy the environment to make a living.
I think there's a lot of people out there, when they think about money, they might resort to communism, socialism, or different forms of means of production to say, well, this is better than capitalism. Oh, this is better, and therefore we need a government to make sure that it happens, which is very different from voluntarism, where people are trading and voluntarily doing things without coercion. So it's interesting how a lot of people might take this angle and say, well, money is really bad, but they use that as a justification for coercion.
Oh, yes. No. This is, and I'm sure that when I speak this way, you know, let's dream a little bit. We get rid of the world corruption, the Great Reset, you know, all those evil people. You know, I'm sure that there will be pockets in the world, you know, where money will still be going on, because people would have understood their lesson and they would try to make something different with money. Some people would say, oh, no, I don't want to hear about that anymore. So, and then I think this, if you are a full an anarchist, you can envision both systems being, you know, evolving side by side.
Right.
You know, and this is good for me. It's good. It's good.
Yeah.
But I know where I would go. Maybe you go. You would go on the money side. I would go on the money free side. But
no,
it doesn't matter.
I would go
because
on the money
I'm
free
sure
side. I agree with you. And it depends, right? Because there's people out there who talk about technology, right? Using machines to help accomplish a world where it's not so much you need much to trade because things are being produced by machinery. Have you seen those perspectives before?
No.
Yeah.
You mean all this old transhumanist movement?
Yeah, perhaps.
Automation?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Automation. I think automation is, I have a mixed feeling, because I think automation is good as long as you don't use general intelligence. So, and if you want, you know, and automation does not need general intelligence. You know, an AI that is sentient, what they want to try, what they are trying to do right now. But I think, yes, we some automation will be is acceptable, because if we don't want to work and feel exploited, it is necessary, because otherwise people who are in, even assuming that money is still in the picture, people who have the money will continue to exploit people. So it's better than we have machines. Yes.
So like some people will take that extreme side and say, well, yeah, to have machines do it. I mean, in a free world, you'd have many solutions, right? You would have people who want to do this and people who want to do that. And I like how open-minded you are about this. And you're not just saying, well, the only way to accomplish this society where we're less attached to materialism is by this one ideology or by this one form of doing things. I like how you're open-minded to that, because this is a pretty big topic, you know, talking about money and economics. And you know, I think we don't really learn a whole lot about it in our school system, at least in America, just how money works in the Federal Reserve, right? And how money operates like that.
That is such an evil, you know. Every time when I think of that, back then, you know, like 15 years ago, when I started learning about where the money was coming from, I really saw a great evil preying on humanity.
Yeah. So, you know, and there's the anarcho-capitalist perspective, right? Which is the idea that's like, hey, the market will provide for services, and the government, when the government gets involved, it causes all the issues, you know? So I think it's kind of similar to what we're saying here, except I don't like to use that term either. I like to say, you know, I'm an abolitionist. Just to get to the point of, well, we're looking at a moral issue. And money, you know, is this material thing, and it may thwart us from the morality of our situation, right? To realize, like, should we be coerced? Should we be working under somebody long hours and constantly having to work the hard on, you know, drudgery? Yeah?
Yes, but you know, coercion has also many, many faces, you know? You like shrimp, for example, and you go to the supermarket and buy your shrimp. Well, you feel like the person, you know, the person in the supermarket is making decent salary. Well, you know, it remains to be seen what we call decent, you know. But and then you feel like the whole everybody has more, you know. Some sort of material satisfaction from working and consuming, but if you dig deeper, you have to see where the shrimp is coming from. They're coming, and the slaves that are the slaves, economic slaves that are going that are working in those farms, shrimp farms, you know, or plunging, you know, diving into the ocean, getting the shrimps, you know, they work for $5 an hour. So, you know, it has to stop, because if you are anti-coercion, you cannot buy those products anymore. Mm. You see what I mean?
Yeah, you also have to look at it deeper, like, oh, they're being paid a very small amount, even if it's voluntary, is it fair?
No, it's not.
Right.
It's not.
Right, so and that's the matter of the public taking action and being aware, right? But if they put all their trust in the FDA or the USDA, are things really going to be safe? No, you don't think so? Yeah. I mean, so and I think we're on the same page with this. It's because those are government agencies that we're putting our trust in and say, well, these guys have all the authority to make all decisions, and soon all our solutions are just put into these people's hands. And it's out of our hands, and we just trust and say, oh, well, it has the USDA label on it, it must be okay. It must be good for me, right? Like, or oh, it's in my supermarket, oh, it must be local, you know. It's like, no, you don't know it
but,
yeah.
And you know, and sadly, you know, when I want something that I cannot find on the farm, I still have to buy this product, these products with the USDA label on it, you know, stamped or certified organic. I don't even believe that it is fully organic, and I don't trust the USDA, you know. So
yeah, there's a lot of problems with those practices, and it'll never be perfect, right? The systems will never be perfect, but if it was decentralized and you had many different solutions and people were growing food locally and there was local farmers markets, then the market overall, the whole idea of money would be a lot more decentralized, right?
Yes, definitely. It would be better than what we have today. I'm willing to be realistic here, you know?
Yeah.
Can the system be better? I think definitely there is room for improvement, even from the picture that you are trying to, painting, you know?
Yeah. And then from
there is there, always better.
There, because like once you have decentralization of money, then it's easier to say, well, it's not that important, right? Because you have other values and other things in your life, and you realize the bigger picture, it's not consuming all of society. All of society is not ran by this piece of paper, this one piece of paper.
Yeah. Yeah. And also if, for example, because I'm sure we won't go money free like that, you know, in overnight, it is going to be a process. And even though not the whole planet could agree with, like I explained earlier, you know, I feel like advertising is a big part of the problem, because it a society that wants to sell at all cost is going to lose integrity. And so for money to survive and to be appreciated, we need to look at another factor, which is integrity, you know, integrity and truthful, you know.
So by integrating, do you mean communities coming together?
No, integrity. Integrity is more like,
okay.
Integrity. I'm sorry, my accent.
Yeah.
integrity is definitely, and truthfulness are two very important ingredients.
Now, a lot of people will say, well, in order to have that integrity, you need to have some sort of regulatory agency or some sort of government oversight over what's happening to make sure that people are paid fairly or that certain things happen.
Well, if history is in any indication, it has never happened. So I'm not fooling myself. If it didn't happen in 5,000 years, so do you believe it is going to happen?
No, I agree with you. I mean, through all our experience, things just get worse. And the minute we have these systems that do try that and try the public interest and say, well, we'll do this, we'll do that, well, it becomes less of a moral issue and becomes more of a legal issue. Like, oh, slavery is abolished because it's illegal, not because it's immoral. And the perception of the public changes. There's no responsibility put on the public. You know, again, it's left in the few hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely agree with that. So where does spirituality fit in with this whole picture? Because I know Terence McKenna is definitely somebody who looks at the spiritual way of things, and we're talking about materialism here and the problems with it, essentially, especially when, you know, we're not responsible with it. So where does spirituality play in?
I'm not even going to say spirituality, but metaphysics. Nature has laws, and we need to understand them. For example, when you take the seven principles, hermetic principles, you know, and you apply them to your life, well, you just have, then you are going to find out that you are going to walk on a thin line in the middle, and you are not, and you are going to behave, you know, because that's metaphysics, you know. It's not nothing to do really with spirituality, you know. And but spirituality is a consequence of metaphysics, but metaphysics comes first. And my personal experience with metaphysics is that it's with ayahuasca. I did ayahuasca 20 times. And is that it has tamed my ego and made me understand the principles really, really deeply. Mm-hmm. Because you can say, oh yes, it's our own nature, I can still go around a little bit, you know, but no, because I had this deep, very deep connection with the spiritual world. I understood that there was no other choice than listen to nature and the natural laws.
Right. Yeah, and within nature is a whole system of its own, right? This, which is why, like you mentioned, it's like, do you really need these material things when you have what you need rather than what you want? So, like, you know, if you have food, you have a family, you have a community, you grow your own food, what's the point, really, of having to go out to a superstore and, you know, buy something with something? And it's like, you don't really have to. You do, like, little trades here and there, but you're growing your own food. All your neighbor is growing some food, too. Maybe you guys consistently share. It doesn't seem like a scenario where you really need to barter with a specific item, you know, and say, well, this is the universal currency and everybody should use it. It's like, no, it's less... there's less emphasis on the money.
Yes. And also, you know, to tell you that our philosophy and the metaphysics, the laws of nature intervene, is, for example, when I go shopping and I go to one of those marshals, you know, and I look at clothing and say, I always end up saying, no, I go to thrift stores only, because I'm not going to promote, you know, making more new stuff that will end up in the landfill, you know?
Right, because, like, you're essentially voting with your dollars, what people say, right? So exactly. Wherever you put your money is what you're contributing toward.
Yes. So this is also, this is how I fight the system. I buy 90% of what I have, I buy it secondhand, you know? Yeah.
What you buy what? I'm sorry?
90% of what I have, I buy it in secondhand. Used.
Secondhand? Okay.
Used, sorry, in thrift stores. Okay. I'm going to buy my next computer that I'm going to have next week. It's a refurbished computer, you know, 1 terabyte. And I will pay like $300 for that instead of $600, you know, mm-hmm. with 1 year of warranty. So right. This is how also you can say no to this consumerism, you know?
Yeah, I would say this sort of consciousness goes hand in hand with everything that we're talking about with freedom, right? Because in order to attain freedom, you have to be conscious of yourself. You need to have self-sovereignty. So it's only natural as part of that process, as you gain consciousness, that you realize everything you do in your life, from the foods you consume, to the foods you buy, to the products you buy, the products you consume, right? So you become more of a conscious consumer and therefore less of a consumer, and you consume more of the things that you need, or the higher quality of things, so you don't need as much quantity. Would you agree with that?
Definitely.
Yeah?
I agree.
So I agree, yes. I know you shared a little bit about your own personal journey. There's this thing called statism, which I talk about as mental slavery. Which is the belief in government authority and using government to achieve, like, different means like this, right? Because there's a lot of things that I want, there's a lot of things that you want, and everybody has different desires and goals. But sometimes we might say, well, I want somebody to write it on a fancy piece of paper and back it by violence. So that is statism. How long were you, like, sort of in that mindset of, well, I need government to fix my problems? Would you say you ever, did you wake up to that factor later on in your life?
Wait. Well, I've been a few times, unfortunately, because the system is so corrupt that sometimes you need to work along with it. For example, after the financial crisis in 2008, I lost my job, and I was doing translations for a law firm in Manhattan back then. Also, it was one of my side jobs. And well, it was more than a side job. It was a full-time job. And I was working for the documentary filmmaker part-time. So I lost my job, and I was very happy to have unemployment for 2 years, you know? So because I felt like I didn't create this crisis and I need to survive. So, okay, in that moment, I may have been a little bit pro-government in the sense that I felt like I needed, you know. But most of the people who are pro-government feel like they need a government. That's not true. I was put in a moment of duress back then. So, like many people, oh, the government is going to save my ass. Yes, but with that money, I went to, you know, I went to New Mexico and I started living on farms. So that money was well invested, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if people have taken money from government before, they shouldn't feel guilt now just because, you know, we're saying that it's sort of egoic or, you know, it's contributing to violence. It's just something to be conscious for in the future. Like, if you did it in the past, it's like, okay, well, I don't want to have that happen to me again. Like, you shouldn't you don't want to be in a state of dependence, right? Where you're like, I have to rely on the government for what I need.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, well, unfortunately, it happened with COVID again. I was unemployed for 1 year. That's why I said, no, this time I'm leaving the system for good. Because from New Mexico coming to Florida, I was here for my family reasons, and it was difficult for me to stay on farms, so I had a job. And when that happened, I said, no, get out. And I used my money again to get out, and now I'm definitely out of the system.
Yeah, no, so if anything happened again, would you accept money from the system?
No. This time, no, because it's end game right now, and we need to... we really need to pay attention to what is happening.
Well,
know?
At least you own up every to day. It. I appreciate you for owning up to it and saying, you know, oh, I took this money, you know, and not necessarily making excuses for it, but like saying like I took it, like, because, you know, you can't undo the past, and if things happen to you, I get it. But you know, there's a lot of people who will make excuses for government, and we got to be very careful for that.
Yeah, but if you take the money of the government and stay home and watch your TV and, you know, then I would say, yes, that's not good. But yeah. I took the money twice to get out of the system. So, and that's why I convert a negative action by something positive. And I think people should do that. Everybody should do that if they have the opportunity.
Yeah.
Not to stay in the system, to create something new in their lives.
Yeah. I think it's just important, however, to also track down where that money's coming from. Because if it's being stolen from other people to help provide for you, then you're sort of contributing to exploitation, right?
Yes. You still, yes, definitely. And, but I think the system needs to go. And I cannot stress that enough that, in all my materials, you know, my videos, I'm sure you watch a few now, but this is every time, every day I wake up, and it is sickening to see how it goes, you know. Mm. Yeah.
So is there any particular actions you would like to see within independent media and within those who produce content in relation to this topic, you know, money and voluntarism and exploitation that you don't currently see enough of, like, in independent media?
I've stopped watching InfoWars and other media because I feel somehow that they are part of the problem. Mm-hmm. It can help. It helped me at some point in my life it opened my eyes to understand how all this was working, all the globalist agenda was working. Right.
But they didn't go deep enough.
They are more creating the divide. They are more participating into the divide and conquer than mm-hmm. anything else. So it's not really helping society.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked with other people and they said similar things, and that's crazy, you know, because we're supposed to be promoting freedom. We're supposed to be sharing these ideas and getting curious and trying to find solutions. And in saying, well, what about money? What about food? What about, you know, the history and how we can rewrite it? And what about what actions we can take with our children and unschooling them and stuff like that? But they don't tend to go into that. They tend to look at news, right? They tend to look at what rises to the surface. So I think that can be a problem, like, toward the world that you want to create, right? Like, do you think there's any other action steps that are required here other than just education Which I agree with, you know, education is really important. Is there any other particular action steps that would help for this goal?
Cut down the consuming as if there are no tomorrows, because it just perpetuates the vicious circle of exploitation. And without us really know, without us or the people really knowing it, you know, definitely consume less. Do less, be more with your family, be more with, connect more with your neighborhood, you know, your community. This is what has real value in the end, you know?
Yeah.
And because money, you know, as it is right now and as the way it is used today, it is meant to just to separate you from, to isolate you even more and further every day.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Is there anything else that you would like to mention? Any resources or extra websites or links that you would like to mention for our audience?
Well, the website that I have is earthcustodians.net, but I'm going to change the domain name in August, and it will be truthfulplanet.net instead. Truthfulplanet.net. Otherwise, I have the Bitchu channel, Truthful Planet for Earth Custodians, that everybody can find. And again, I want to tell people that I'm not against money. I just think that we don't need it when we understand natural law. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, and I totally agree with that. So thank you very much for joining me. Everybody check out her links and the resources that we provided. If you want to see a lot more speakers like this, go to nita.one/summit. NITA.ONE/summit. This is the End of Slavery Summit. Thank you very much for watching.